Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah for all you've done for me. Amen. Amen. Has God done anything for anybody up in here? Let us just say thank you, God, for all you've done for me. All the things I've seen and all the things I cannot see. All the things you're doing right now, Lord God. We just want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Hallelujah. From the day we were born to today. Thank you, Lord, for all the things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For all the things. Hallelujah. Every single little thing. Every great and big thing. Hallelujah, God. For the hard times. For the good times. Hallelujah. For every friend. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God is a great God. He is a good God. Worthy of all of our praise. All of the time. He is worthy of all of our praise. Amen. God is so wonderful. He is so great. God is good. Thank you, Lord. I thank God for this season because it reminds us to be thankful. Some people aren't thankful ever. But all we have to do is think about the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We would not be here if it hadn't been for God's goodness. Amen. Amen. So we're just grateful and we are thankful. We're going to move on. If you would stand, I'm going to give you the scripture. I want to thank Pastor Pickens, as always, for the opportunity to come to you and to deliver a message from on high. Amen. There is always a word from God.
Amen.
But it's up to us to receive it. Amen.
Amen.
If you turn to Luke chapter 22. And we're going to drop down to verse 31 through 34. And then after that, we're going to drop down again to verse 54 through 62. So the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. And it reads as follows. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Then he said, meaning Jesus, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. Verse 54. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Amen. You may be seated. I started to name this message, cursing, crowing, and conviction. And God said, no. So I named this message, Failure is Not Final. Amen. Failure is not final. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, we just come before you, Lord God. We just love you. We adore you and we magnify you, Lord God. And we come at this hour, Lord God, that you might deliver a word to your people. And so, Father, I am asking in the name of Jesus that you would allow me to decrease, allow your preaching power to prevail. Father God, hallelujah. Touch, Lord God, these your people, that they might leave here hopeful, that they might leave here blessed, that they might leave here comforted. Have your way, Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Failure is not final. I don't know how you have messed up this year, but I know you have. Amen. Because all of us have. Amen. But what I want you to know is that no matter how you messed up, no matter how you failed, your failure is not final. Why is that? Because the blood still works. The blood still works because of what Christ did on Calvary. The blood still works, and we don't have to let failure to define our future. Failure is just what it is for that moment in time. But it is not permanent when you know the Christ. It is not permanent when you know the Lord Jesus Christ. So no one is leaving here today feeling defeated. No one is going to leave here feeling that there is no hope, because God has sent me to remind you that failure is not final in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's enough to be thankful for right there, that we serve a God who will give us all another chance. Remember, I did not say a second chance. I said another chance, because if it was a second chance, we would have had that chance long, long time ago. But God will give us another chance to get things right, another chance to correct our wrongdoing, another chance to be transformed, another chance to live the life that is pleasing to God. God will give us another chance. And I don't know about you, but that makes me happy to know that just hallelujah, the things that I do don't define me. The things that I do, God is able to handle. With the mistakes that I made, he is able to cover. The things that I do that do not please him, he is able to forgive. And he is able to pick me up and turn me around, put my feet back on solid ground, and continue to allow me to move forward. I thank God for this man called Peter. Peter was one of Jesus' disciples. In fact, he was the bold, brazen disciple. Amen. He's the one who could stand up and he's going to fight off everything. He just had that mindset that he was somebody's somebody. Amen. And so Peter was this great leader of the New Testament church. He was this outspoken spokesman for Jesus. He was bold. He was confident. But in this story that we just read, we see Peter at one of his weakest moments. We all have weak moments. Some people act like they don't, but they do. Because we're all what? Human. We're all frail. We all have a tendency to sin. Because the Bible declares all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so I'm so glad that Peter and Jesus and the Holy Spirit allowed Peter's story to go into print. That we could see that this bold spokesman, that we could see that this leader of the New Testament church even had a weak moment. Because sometimes we can be so confident in ourselves. Sometimes we could believe that we can conquer anything. Anybody know any super saints? Super saints who think they could take on the world. All I have to do is say a little prayer. All I have to do is lay my hands on people and they're going to raise from the dead. But the truth of the matter is, even those super saints have what? Weak moments. There's nobody alive who doesn't fall at some point in time. And so Peter's story goes down in history to show us that even the greatest of the disciples can have a weak moment. And if we look at this chapter 22 of Luke, we're going to see that the enemy was busy. How many people know you have an enemy? Yeah. You do have an enemy. His name is Satan. And he has demons, lots of them. And they're always on their post. Sometimes we act like they aren't, but they are. They're always there, ready to launch their attack. And in chapter 22 of Luke, we see Satan is so busy taking down the disciples, trying to take them down one by one. And he started with Judas at the beginning. He had Judas meet with the chief priest and sell Jesus over for some money. And so he took down Judas. And then after that, we find the disciples arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom, as if there's anybody greater than the king. And so they're arguing, and even the enemy is in the midst of that, trying to get them to buy against one another, to divide them, to be the greatest, for one to be better than the other. And that's how the enemy works, always trying to cause chaos, always trying to cause trouble. And so in the midst of this chapter 22, we see them arguing over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus had to correct them. And he had to let them know that the greatest is the one who's going to serve. Are you a servant of the Most High God? Are you vying for a position? Are you willing to serve, or are you looking for a place where you could be seen, a place where you could be heard, a place where people will acknowledge you and pat you on the back? Or are you just willing to say and do the things that God says for you to do on a daily basis when nobody is looking at you? Are you a servant of the Most High God? And so Jesus had to correct them. But then he does this. He informs Peter about this request that the enemy has made. Do you know that the enemy will make a request to God concerning you? He says, Simon, Simon. Isn't that interesting that he doesn't say, Peter, Peter? Why wouldn't he say, Peter, Peter? Because Peter getting ready to act like Simon. Peter is the rock of the church. Simon was Peter before he got his name changed. Amen? Amen. And so he says, Simon, Simon, and he puts an exclamation point there because he's trying to get his attention. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. That you there, in the Greek language, is plural. So he's not just talking about Simon Peter. He's talking about all the disciples. He's talking about me, and he's talking about you. Satan desires to sift us like wheat. He desires to take us down. He desires to test us. He desires to see us fall away. He desires to see us stumble into sin. His desire is that we go down and we stay down, but he doesn't know who he's messing with. Amen. He said that Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But Jesus says this, I have prayed for you. Somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time to pray for me. And that person was no other than Jesus Christ himself. Do you realize Jesus is praying for us? He knows that Satan has entered the courts of heaven. If you look at Job, Satan entered the courts of heaven. He has to get permission to attack. He just can't launch an attack all on his own. He has to go to Almighty God in his courthouse, and he has to ask him for permission to attack. And so Jesus knows that Satan has been to the courtroom of God. He knows that he has been to the court of heaven, and he knows that he has requested to sift the disciples as wheat. What has Satan gone to God about on your behalf? What is it he's trying to do in your life? Oh, take a minute and just think about the things that are going on in your world. Is it possible that Satan has gone before the Lord and said, hey, I want to try to take him out with that thing that's going on in their life. I want to try to take them out with that financial burden. I want to try to take them out with those rebellious kids. I want to try to take them out because I want to show you, God, that they don't love you like they say they love you. They aren't as committed to you as they say they are. And so just give me the opportunity, God, and I'm going to show you that they really are not your disciple. And so that's what Satan did to Peter. Went before God and asked for permission to sift him as wheat. But Jesus said, I have prayed for you. And look at what Jesus prayed. He said, I prayed that your faith should not fail.
Amen.
Didn't pray that he would take away the attack. That's what I would have prayed. Didn't pray that Satan would leave them alone, that his demons would not get on them. No, he didn't pray that. He just prayed that his faith would not fail. What we need to know and what we need to realize this morning is that it's our faith that counts. Because as long as we keep the faith, failure is not final. As long as we keep the faith, God is able to take every situation according to the word of God and work that thing together for our good. He is able to bring us up and to lift us out of the pit. He is able, when we are stumbled, to cause us to excel and to rise up and do more things for him than we have done before. And so we know that while Satan wants to take us down, God is praying for us that our faith does not fail. Just hold on to your, he ain't asking for a lot. He said, just hold on to your faith. He ain't telling you to climb a mountain. He said, just hold on to your faith. Everybody is trying to be somebody, but God is just looking at our faith. He's just trying to see, do you really believe that I am who I say I am all of the time? Not just on Sunday morning, but when you're in trouble, do you believe I'm still God? When people are coming against you, do you believe I'm still God? When people are asking things of you that you cannot accomplish on your own, do you still believe I am God? Just keep the faith, because I am a God who will never leave you nor forsake you. I am God all the time. I never stop being God. I am God in season and out of season. I am God every day. Early in the morning, I'm God. In the afternoon, I'm God. In the evening, I'm God. So no matter what the enemy throws your way, know that I am God, and I am going to be with you every step of the way. He is God, and he is for us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And then he says, and when you return to me, Jesus knew he was going to pass the test. Mm-hmm. And he knows we're going to pass the test. Be assured that you're going to pass the test. How do you know? Because God has already prayed for you that you pass the test. Hallelujah. He's already prayed that you are going to pass the test. The enemy wants to think that you're not going to pass it, but it's already taken care of. Jesus has already prayed that you pass the test. And when you have returned to me, and when you have returned to me, and when you have returned, you are coming back. Oh, you may be down and out for a moment, but you are coming back. Things might be rough for a moment, but you are coming back. Oh, there is going to be a comeback in this house today, because God is able to bring us back. He prayed for us. I'm so, hallelujah, so glad Jesus prays for me. Oh, he gives us hope, and he gives us peace, and he gives us Holy Ghost confidence. See, Peter was in himself. He had confidence in himself. He said to the Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. But drop down 20 verses, and he's looking at prison, and he's looking at death, and he changes his mind. And the hallelujah, and that's how we do, amen? We do a lot of talking, but our talk don't match our walk sometimes. Sometimes our talk is just talk. And that's how Peter was. He was talking and talking and talking, but when he was put to the test, he denied, hallelujah. He denied God. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But Jesus told Peter, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times. But Peter didn't believe him. Has God ever told you something and you just dismissed it? I don't believe that. Yeah, God. Whatever you say, God. And then it comes. In verse 54, having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. That was Jesus. But Peter followed at a distance. That's a way for you to fail. To follow Jesus at a distance. come to church sometime. Read my Bible sometimes. Fellowship with other believers sometimes. Following at a distance. If you follow at a distance, your flesh is going to get the best of you. If you follow at a distance, you are prone to fail because the enemy is just waiting to see you following at a distance. Because if there's a gap between you and God, and God never goes anywhere, he's always in the same place. But when there's a gap between you and God, that means you have veered off the lane. You have veered off the path. And God will allow Satan to come along to get you right back to where you need to be. He will allow Satan and his enemies to come and to attack in order to get you back on the straight and narrow. And so there's a danger in following God at a distance. He wants us to be up close and personal. He wants us to know him like the back of our hand. He wants us to know him every single day of our life. He wants fellowship with us. He wants us to follow him, not at a distance, but closely and intimately. So Peter was following him at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down, Peter sat among them. Oh, now he's in trouble. Now he's in big trouble. Because he already separated himself from God. And now he's sitting with the scoffers. And what does Psalms 1 say? It says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the ways of the sinner, nor sit with the scoffers. And here he is, sitting among them. He getting ready to fail. We got to watch what we're doing, saints, right? We got to follow the word of God, right? If God says don't do it, don't do it. If we do it and we decide to do it, then failure is part of the plan. Because God is true to his word. His word only works when we follow it. If we choose not to follow it and do something else, if we choose to distance ourselves from his word, if we choose to distance ourselves from fellowship, from worship, from praise, from coming to church, then we're going to find ourselves like Peter, caught in the flesh. He's getting ready to have a big time fleshly moment right here because he is following at a distance and he is sitting among the enemies. Why would you want to sit among God's enemies? But there he is. Why? Because he was scared. He could have went to prison too. And all that talk he did earlier, now he's put to the test. And a certain service girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him, but he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. So now he's at the point where he don't even know who Jesus is. Nope, don't know him, never seen him, don't know what you're talking about. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. So now he's accused of being a disciple, and he said, I'm not. Don't know Jesus. And I'm not a disciple. Peter's scared. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Because we do crazy things when we're scared, right? When we're scared, we say all kind of stuff. We do all kind of stuff. We make up all kind of stuff because we're shaking in our boots. And so here he is shaking in his boots because he knows these people are crazy anyway. And they're out for Jesus and they're out for his disciples. And so he makes a stand on the other side because he is afraid. Do you know how many times God says, fear not in the Bible? Over 400 times he's telling us not to be afraid because he knows that if we get afraid, he knows that if we give in to the fear, that we are going to end up in a situation just like Peter, where we end up denying him because we are so fearful. Think about the boys in the fiery furnace. They had no fear. They were facing a fiery furnace and they said to the king, we will not bow. Even we know our God is able, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow. That's no fear. That's what Jesus was looking at in Peter, but Peter hadn't grown to that point yet. You have to grow to the point where you cannot back down when things get rough. You have to grow to the point where when people are challenging your Christianity and challenging your faith, and mark my word, it will happen. People are going to challenge what you believe. They're going to try to get you to deny the Christ, but we have to build up our most holy faith. We have to stand on the promises of God. We have to believe that his promises are true. But most of all, we have to make up our mind that no matter what, I'm not going to deny my Christ. No matter what, I am going to continue to keep the faith. And he said, you are also of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. And then about an hour had passed, still sitting there, an hour later. I would have got up and left by now. All these people asking me all these questions. I'm feeling a little bit uncomfortable. I'm leaving. But Peter's still sitting there. And then somebody else comes and says, surely this fellow also was with them, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you're saying. In other versions, it says he started cussing and swearing. Now, Peter done went all the way far right, right? He's really off course now. Now he's cussing and swearing, but he's still standing right there. But this is part of the plan. Jesus saw this, and this is what he was trying to warn Peter about. Jesus saw this day coming, and whatever you're going through right now today, Jesus already saw it coming, and he's been trying to prepare you for it. But just like you could be just like Peter and blow it off, that's not going to happen to me. It can happen to you. And when it happens to you, you have to keep the faith. When it happens to you, you're going to have to do just like Peter. It says that Peter locked eyes with the Lord. And when he locked eyes with the Lord, he remembered what God had said to him. And when he remembered what God had said to him, it said he went out and he wept bitterly. That's good news, y'all. It sounds like bad news, but it's good news. It's good news when you have fallen short of God's glory and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit convicts you and you are able to weep over that thing. That is good news. It is good news when you have messed up and the Holy Spirit comes in and causes you to feel sorrowful and regret, so much so that you go out and you weep bitterly. That is good news. Many people commit sins and they never cry one drop of a tear. Many people call themselves Christians, but they never take the time to weep bitterly over the things that they have done. Many people call themselves Christians, but not once do they turn to the Lord and repent for their sins. But Peter repented for his sins. Peter wept sorrowly for his sins. He knew that what Jesus had said about him was true. Do we believe what Jesus says about us is true? Do we believe that we are sinners that need to be saved by grace? Do we believe that without him we can do nothing? Do we really believe what Jesus said about us? Because when we believe what Jesus said about us, it's going to make all the difference in your life. You know how people tell you, don't cry. Oh, it's okay, don't cry. No, you cry. You cry and you cry some more. You cry bitterly over your sins and allow Jesus Christ the opportunity to come in and cleanse you up. He said you would confess your sins, that he was just and faithful to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But you have to confess that you have fallen. You have to confess that you have failed. You have to confess that you are that sinner. And as long as you are willing to confess, Jesus is willing to clean you up. That is good news this morning. Oh, don't go into 2025 holding on to your sins. Oh, take the time to fall on your knees and ask God to forgive you. Take the time to ask God to clean you up, that when you start the new year, you might feel fresh. When you start the new year, you'll have that thing behind you. It will no longer have a stronghold on you. You need to weep bitterly over what you've done. And when you weep bitterly over what you've done, then the Holy Spirit can come in and he can clean you up. He can fill you with joy. He can fill you with peace. He can fill you with love. He can deliver you. He can pick you up. He can turn you around. He can place your feet back on solid ground. He can make all things new. But you have to do your part, and our part is to confess when we've fallen short of God's glory. Anybody in here need to confess anything? Not to me. I don't want to know. Got my own stuff going on. Anybody in here need to confess to the Lord? And hallelujah. How you've been hanging on to it so long. It's in my spirit. been hanging on to it so long. Hallelujah. God say, let it go. A new year's coming. Let it go. Because if you let it go, God can elevate you. Many people want to be elevated in the Lord. People want to move up in the Lord. And God told me it's not an escalator ride. It is not an elevator ride. No, you got to take the steps. You got to put some effort into this. If you want God to elevate you to that place that you want to be, if you want God to elevate you to that man or woman of God that you desire to be, then you have to take the steps. And the first step is confessing your sins. The second step is turning from your wicked ways. Oh, turn away. You don't have to keep acting that way year after year after year after year. Get that thing to Jesus. Help him to, ask him to give you a kind disposition. Help, I was telling somebody the other day, I just drain the fruit of the Spirit. I just drain it. They say, why aren't you saying nothing? Because I'm draining the Spirit. Trying to get some self-control up in here. Trying to get some joy up in here. Trying to get some kindness up in here. Going to keep my mouth shut and just drain the fruit of the Spirit. You know, hallelujah, don't have to be like you've always been. God is a changer. He is a transformer. He wants us to be brand new creatures in Christ. But we have to do our part. So we confess and then we repent. And after we do our part, God will step in and do his part. Because if you turn over to the book of Acts, chapter 2 and chapter 3, guess who's there? Peter. And guess what he's doing? Preaching to the masses. 5,000 or more people saved in one day. If he'll do it for Peter, he'll do it for you. Why? Because our failure is not final. Satan wants you to think it's final, but it's not. If we just do what God says, he can give us a new lease on life. If we just do what God says, he can make everything brand new. But I want you to believe it. Stop holding on to it. Stop carrying it. Stop thinking about it. Let that thing go. Say, Lord, I messed up. I messed up big time. And I'm sorry. So sorry, God. Fix me. Yeah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Fix me. Don't want to keep being this way. Don't want to keep talking this way. Don't want to keep thinking. Whew. Some people never said a word, but the thoughts. The thoughts. The thoughts. Lord, forgive me for what I'm thinking. Always thinking the wrong thing. Have mercy, Jesus. Clean us up, Lord, for 2025. Give us the courage, even as you gave Peter the courage. Give us the heart to want to repent. Give us the heart to want to confess. Give us the heart to admit who we really are. Because that was Peter's problem. He thought he was strong and macho. But Jesus knew he was weak and frail. And when put to the test, he showed that Jesus was right. And so God knows who we are. You don't have to hide from him. Tell him. Already knows. Just waiting to hear from you. And when he hears from you, he can fix it. Because failure with God is not final. Amen.
Failure is not final. Amen. Hope everybody wrote that down. Put it in your notes. Failure is not final. We're going to open the doors of the church as we always do. And I'm going to ask this morning, I'm going to ask Reverend Williams, come and open the doors of the church, if you will. And let's give God that opportunity to speak to people after this powerful message. Amen.
Don't hold on to it. there's something on your heart, something on the back of your mind that's tugging on you, that's called the Holy Spirit. The beauty of it all is God's hand is always out, waiting on you. Is there one? Is there one with something on your heart that you want to bring to God? Right now. Tomorrow's not promised. Right now, come. Come while the blood is still running warm in your veins. The next moment is not promised to you. When you walk out those doors, he's asking. All you have to do is take his hand. He did it for mama. He did it for daddy. And he'll do it for you. It's ours. It's ours to request. Yours to accept or deny.
I just want to say that Jesus died on Calvary to set us free. Yeah. He wants us to be free. Yeah. And so often we talk about it, but we don't take advantage of what Jesus did for us. He doesn't want us to walk in bondage. He doesn't want, hallelujah, for us to be oppressed. Hallelujah, doesn't want us to be brokenhearted. He wants to set us free. For those who the Lord sets free are free indeed. Nobody can touch you when God has set you free. The past can't touch you when God has set you free. Hallelujah. Other people might try to bring it up. But just let them know I'm free. I dealt with that, and I'm free. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Stand up if you would. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Hallelujah. Still moving, still healing, still forgiving. The blood of Christ still works. Love what you did, Jesus, for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, we just come. We love you, Lord. Love what you did, Jesus. Love that you went to Calvary on our behalf, Lord God. Oh, that you saw our condition, Lord God, and you had mercy on us. That you decided to sacrifice your own life so that we might have an opportunity to live. And so, Father, I'm asking that you would bless your people. Draw us closer to you, Lord God. Help us to admit who we really are. Help us to confess to you that you might cleanse us. Hallelujah. Give us the courage, Lord God. Let us know you already know. Hallelujah. You saw what happened. You saw when it happened. You saw how it happened. And you're just waiting for us to have that conversation. Say, come unto me, and I will wash you white as snow. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you for the sacrifice. Hallelujah. Thank you for the opportunity, even the many blessings. Ask that you bless this people, Lord God, that their lives will be changed, that they will walk into a new year, a new person. Faithful, strong, confident, relying and depending on you. God, we love you, and we ask this prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let the church sing together. Closing.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."